Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Buenaventura 2023 Investor Day. I'm Gabriel Salas, Buenaventura's Investor Relations Officer. Thank you all for joining us today, also to those connected via the webcast. Today's presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Note that this will first cover the questions from here in the room, followed by those questions we've received through the webcast. For those connected via the webcast, please note that you can submit questions at any time during the presentations. Please also be sure to take a moment to review our safe harbor statement. Today's event will begin with an introduction by Mr. Leandro García, our Chief Executive Officer. This will be followed by presentations by our operations team, starting with Mr. Aldo Massa, Vice President of Business Development and Commercial, and followed by Mr. Alejandro Hermoza, Vice President of Sustainability. Mr. Juan Carlos Salazar, Geology and Explorations Manager, Mr. Juan Carlos Ortiz, Vice President of Operations, and Mr. Renzo Macher, Vice President of Projects. Mr. Daniel Domínguez, our Chief Financial Officer, will then provide his financial perspective, followed by some closing comments by Leandro. Please note that Mr. Roque Benavides, Buenaventura's Chairman, is joining us today and is available for your questions. Please, Leandro.
Thank you, Gabriel. Again, thank you for coming and having this time to meet with us. Well, you already know our board of directors. Roque is with us, accompanying us. I would like to introduce Mr. Jorge Berchtold. He has been appointed to our board in March of this year. He has a strong background on geology, working many years for BHP. With this incorporation, we have complete a very strong and diverse expertise team of our directors. Now I look to go through the agenda for today. First, we will present the strategy. We feel comfortable with the current balance we have met with between precious metals and base metals, especially copper. However, we foresee in the coming years more share of copper production, as you will see in the rest of our presentation. We are also focused on increasing our assets' life of mine in order to be more predictable. We continue creating value for all our stakeholders with a strong sustainability strategy that will be presented by Alejandro Hermoza. We have a unique and deep understanding of the geology of our country, which is considered a prime location in the worldwide mining industry, and we will be commented by Juan Carlos Salazar. Operational excellence, cost efficiency, and our people are the pillars of our operations and will be presented by Juan Carlos Ortiz. Our strong pipeline of projects, our efforts towards digital transformation and innovation will be commented by Renzo Macher. Finally, our financial planning and the capital allocation to warranty liquidity for growth will be presented by Daniel Domínguez. 70 years of mining excellence, the first ones, we are working for the following 70. Buenaventura has demonstrated continuous organic growth through explorations and development that is our DNA, and we will continue with our legacy. We foresee an inflection point in the growth and value of our company. As we promised last year, this growth will be supported by our efforts in operational excellence, our community partnerships, our strict care of the environment, and our prioritization of the benefit for our stakeholders. We continue in the right track. The pillars for this inflection point will be our four flagship assets. Yumpag, with more than 100 million ounces of silver as resources and its great potential. Brocal, with more than 10 years of life of mine. San Gabriel, our project under construction that today has 14 years of reserves and exploration is open. And of course, Cerro Verde, our world-class asset. These four assets will help us broaden our resources of the rest of our operations and develop new projects as Trapiche, Coimolache sulfides, and La Zanja sulfides. Mining is a key industry for the country's economic recovery and development, and the current administration recognizes it. The administration, the government of Dina Boluarte recognizes it. In all terms, the strengthening of the mining sector. Mining for the mining industry is for Peru 14% of our national GDP, 16% of the private investment, 60% of our export, 19% of the tax income, 50% of the energy consumption. This changed a little in the government of Castillo, where, for example, we were granted with 6 permits. However, during Boluarte administration, 12 months, we have granted already 12 permits for our operations. Now, I would like to turn to Aldo Massa to talk about our view of the market.
Good morning to everyone. I'm going to make a quick summary of Buenaventura's market summary. Of course, starting with copper, that represents the future for our company. The outlook for copper is very positive for many reasons, but mainly due to two main factors. The first factor is that copper supply will not increase drastically in the following years, because there is a lot of challenge as permits, regulations, and limited investment that make a new copper project very difficult to develop. The second factor is that the growing demand for clean energy technologies will drive copper up, leading a market deficit expected to become structural by 2027. As everybody knows, also the electric cars demand for copper will double the consumption to reach 4.8 million tons by 2030, and 3 million tons additionally demand by 2030 from renewable energy. We're talking about prices. The Bloomberg consensus is that the price of copper will be between $8,500 and $9,500 per metric tons in the coming years. Finally, we can see in the chart below, the copper inventories are at the lowest levels of the last 5 years. Going into gold and silver, as everybody knows, it's very difficult to estimate the gold price. Nevertheless, the Bloomberg consensus is that will be in the range of $1,700 and $2,000 per ounce. Probably some of you know that today, the gold reached a new all-time high price above $2,100 per ounce. And the analyst estimation is that should continue at high levels, of course, due to geopolitical conflicts and also a weak U.S. dollar performance. The market also expects that the Fed to start cutting rates during 2024. Everybody knows that it's going to start cutting rates during this year, but nobody knows when. The consensus is that maybe in the second or the third Q. Going into silver, similar to gold, the silver price is pushed up by weak performance of the U.S. dollar, but it's totally the opposite. The industrial side, the demand for silver is expected to grow 8% to a record of 632 million ounces during this year. The outlook for silver is very positive, also due to the green energy transition. Going into zinc and lead, unfortunately, the price for lead and zinc are very low compared with 1 year ago and don't look too optimistic for the near future. The positive side for both metals is that the treatment charge for concentrates are very low right now, and this is helping in the profitability of miner like us, Buenaventura, because we sell concentrate, lead and zinc concentrates. Going into the zinc market, it should turn into deficit by 2028, and a gap between consumption and production of 1.2 million tons is expected by 2030. The price forecast for the next year will be in the range of 2,400 and 2,700 for zinc, and 2,100 and 2,300 per metric tons for lead. In summary, we see copper and precious metals continuing to increase, and it is important to note that this is a particular strain for Buenaventura, and the reason why we are replenishing our gold and silver portfolio and speeding up the delivery of our greenfield copper projects, like Trapiche, Coimolache sulfide, and La Zanja sulfides. This will be covered in more detail within this presentation. That's all for my sign, and I will turn the discussion over to Alejandro Hermosa, who leads the sustainability. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Aldo. Good morning. Today I'm going to give you an overview on our sustainability approach or strategy. First, just for those who don't know us, important to note, where do we operate? We operate in 8 regions in Peru, across the Andes, in the highlands of Peru, basically above 3.5, 4,000 meters above sea level, with very specific conditions that drive our specific sustainability approach. And it is shown over our 70 years of history in which we have been operating within closed relations with communities and a strong environmental management. But of course, we're taking note as well of the new challenges that sustainability is bringing, like climate change. That's why we're very focused now in strengthening what has been our strength throughout the years, but also searching to close gaps in which we needed to take much note. In that sense, watershed management still has been one of our most important focus, but very focused on the impacts of climate change. That's why we're going to show you that we have strong focus on helping mitigate the impacts of climate change, both environmentally and socially. Of course, that doesn't mean we do not overlook things like carbon emissions. We also are focused on that. On the lower part, you can see a set of the more important indicators on our sustainability approach. As I was mentioning before, has to do with water and energy to start with, and how are we gaining more and more efficiency throughout our operations, securing or strengthening a very compact carbon footprint, strong support of renewable energies, and on the last indicators here, how are we approaching to help mitigate the impact and get benefits on the surrounding populations around our operations. This has to do with the effort we have done on the past years and still focus on validate continuous assessment and validation of our sustainability strategy through a very clearly defined materiality matrix, which help us to focus on what we want to do, we have to do in terms of environment, social governance, and those issues that impact our businesses, but has been also been taken note from our stakeholders. In that respect, our main action plans that we are undergoing right now on the environmental and climate change, as I mentioned before, have to do with the efforts on water in gaining more efficiency. We have now working on a long-term risk water risk management program based on the TCFD. We expect on the future to give you some more details on that, and promoting, as I was mentioning before, the water stewardship throughout the basins in which we operate. Still focusing and gaining more energy efficiency, looking more now into promoting, for instance, the usage of electric equipment on our mines, not only from a climate perspective, but also focus on providing a more secure and more healthy environment for our workers. On the social dimension, strengthening our business model to be a more inclusive one. What does that mean for us in terms of inclusiveness? Doing more efforts to have more impact on the operation surrounding, on the community surrounding our operation. That's why it allows us to show a participation of over 60% of our workforce coming from the regions in we operate, half of them from the community surrounding, an impact on the local economies, and also efforts through partnerships to close infrastructure gaps on this particular context in which we operate, I was mentioning before. And, of course, without overlooking the fact that we need also to assess and find any gaps or anything to correct in terms of human rights, as it's also expected today from all the trends in terms of sustainability. This approach allows us today to show three greenfield important projects coming along on track, like San Gabriel project, the Yumpag and Trapiche, which are being built through strong agreements and commitment with communities, with strong planning, with a focus on creating environmental assets that will help us fight climate change, as I was saying before. So the mission from a sustainability point of view is precisely that, gives sustainability support to continue on our organic growth throughout throughout the country as we are focused on these eight regions right now. With that, I'm going to turn that on to Juan Carlos, who will be addressing the exploration plans.
Thank you, Alex, and good morning to everyone. Buenaventura has a long and successful history of replacing reserves and discovering new resources in the mining district we have been operating. Buenaventura is actively in the most important precious metal and copper belt in Peru. In the north of Peru, La Zanja and Coimolache, originally gold oxide mines, are being transformed into important copper and gold projects. In central Peru, important deposits of silver and base metal, such as Uchucchacua, El Brocal, and now our new discovery, Yumpag. A little further south, we have Trapiche, located in one of the most important copper belt in Peru. And to the south, our precious metal deposits such as Orcopampa, Tambomayo, and San Gabriel, our next gold mine. On the right, we can see the evolution of our reserve and resources in the last 3 years. Gold remains stable at 4.5 million ounces, and silver has an increase of 49% due to the new resources in the Yumpag project. Finally, copper shows an increase of 52% due to the new resources in the Coimolache sulfide project. In this slide, we show the portfolio of exploration projects. As you can see, our main focus is in the brownfield exploration, around 80%, and 20% in greenfield exploration. Additionally, we have a diversified portfolio with gold, silver, and copper projects. Currently, we have three projects in resource delineation, Yumpag, Coimolache sulfides, and La Zanja sulfides, which we are going to see in more detail. Yumpag is a new brownfield discovery with 113 million ounces of silver in resources. This project is turning into a mine after 10 years of successful exploration. In the middle of this year, we completed our second infill drilling program, which includes the best intercept to date, 107 meters at 54 ounces of silver. The new resource update shows an 87 increase in the measured and indicated resources, going from 35 million to 65 million ounces of silver, mainly in the Tomasa structure. As we can see in the table, the total resources are 113 million ounces of silver, with an average grade of silver more than 24 ounces, which means more than 10 years of life of mine in this project. In addition, drilling outside of the current resource model in Tomasa continues to deliver remarkable results. We have more than 15 intercepts with silver grades between 20 to 50 ounces and width between 5 to 40 meters. In Camila, we have extended mineralization 100 meters to the south, and it remains open. Also this year, we have identified a new vein called Condor, in which we have 4 intercepts with high-grade silver mineralization. We are quite confident that in the next resource update, we will continue growing our resources in the Yumpag project. Coimolache sulfide is a large copper gold deposit sitting just below the actual open pit, which is mining gold oxides. This project shows a complex superimposition of several events of mineralization, which has created an extensive mineralized area of 2 kilometers long by 1.5 kilometers wide. At the beginning of this year, we completed the second infill drilling program, and now our current resources with an open pit of 60,000 tons per day are 734 million tons at 0.4% copper and 0.2 grams of gold. Copper equivalent grade increased by 23% from the previous estimate, based on better geological understanding of the mineralization. In addition, there are 45 million tons at 1.2% copper and 0.6 grams of gold. It means 1.6% copper equivalent that could be mined underground. Preliminary economic assessment is in progress and is expected to be completed by the second quarter of next year. Coimolache sulfide is a large copper gold project with more than 5.4 million tons of copper equivalent with strong possibilities to continue growing. La Zanja sulfide is another copper and gold exploration project. Mineralization occurs in breccia pipes with the cement of chalcopyrite and visible gold. Our current resources are 9 million tons at 1.8% copper and 0.8 grams of gold in 3 breccia pipes, Emperatriz, Alba, and Aurora. These breccias have been identified from surface to a depth of 300 meters. Our deepest hole intercepted mineralization 100 meters below the current resource model, with 8.5 meters at 1.4% copper and 8.3 grams of gold, proving that the system is open at depth. And to continue exploring this breccia, next year we plan to conduct a directional drilling program to fully explore the potential of these breccias. In addition, this year we identify a new breccia pipe called Lucero. 5 drill holes intercept this breccia with highly encouraging results in gold and copper. This new breccia reinforces the potential of the Amanda breccia, where we had already additional important intercepts. For the next year, we plan to execute an infill drilling program in order to generate additional resources in this area. And there are strong indications of more. As you can see in the slide to the north, we have identified an extensive area with multiple breccia pipes with important gold values that will be tested in the following years. As you can see, these three exploration projects have solid resources to ensure operation with more than 10 years of life of mine and the potential to continue growing over the time. Now, let me turn it over to Juan Carlos Ortiz, who leads operations.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Now we will talking about the operations. As Juan Carlos was explaining, we have a huge potential coming in, product of the exploration that we have conducted in the previous year, not only around our existing mine, but also in the greenfield project that now we are evolving into pre-feasibility stage and probably mines in the coming years. As you can see here, we have a very diversified portfolio to manage all over the country, in the northern, central, and southern part of the country, different commodities, mainly copper, gold, and silver, and also open pit and underground. So first, we're going to visit now a guideline for the production in 3 incoming years. Then we will see what we're doing in order to not only have a 3-year life of mine, but convert these assets into more than 10 years life of mine for each of them, to have more predictivity, perhaps chances to do optimization of each one of these assets. In addition to that, something important, the sustainability of our assets is also based on the reliability of how we do business in the country and in the world, in the mining world. So also we took the challenge for migrating from our current Peruvian standard for regulation of the tailing dams into the standard of the Canadian Dam Association. That's mainly one of the global guidelines how to manage the facilities to store the residues of the product of the mining, mainly tailings. And this plan has been progressing in the last 2 years. And we have a roadmap to complete the transition from the Peruvian guidelines and make an increase or raising the bar for ourselves into the Canadian Dam Association in the coming 4 years. Going now with the guidelines for the coming 3 years of production, you see on the upper line the production expected for this year, 2023, in gold, silver, and copper. And you see how it's going to be the evolution that we expect from our portfolio in incoming years. Important to mention, this is the 100% basis for all the operations that we manage. It includes 100% of Coimolache and 100% of El Brocal. Cerro Verde is not included in this chart, but you can see here in the first one, gold, we're in the over 220,000 ounces of gold this year. We are planning to maintain that in the long term, coming back to the same volume of production in 2026 after a transition in 2024 and 2025, in which probably we have the depletion of the Orcopampa and Tambomayo mines, where we continue exploration, but we expect, and this scenario to be on the conservative side, that they are going to be depleted by the time in 2025 that we deliver San Gabriel in line of production. So we replace pretty much the production of gold in the southern part of the country with the new project of San Gabriel. In silver, we have a production in 2022 of about 8 million ounces of silver. Now we are expecting to produce around 9.5 to 10 million ounces of silver this year, and moving into 13 to 14 million ounces next year with the transition and ramp up of Yumpag and Uchucchacua mine. And after we have a fully complete year of operation of these two main assets, silver assets, stabilize the production in 14 to 16 million ounces of silver per year. In the case of copper, it's going to be a stable production from in this range of 3 years on the road, in the range of 55 to 60,000 tons of copper per year, mainly from the Brocal underground mine. I would like now to go into more detail into these assets. I'll start with El Brocal, and you can see in the closer to my side, a plan view of El Brocal mine. You can see here in the upper part in black are the areas that have been mined for the last 20 years. In the same scale, you see in red, yellow, and green what are the areas that we have so far as reserve. So areas that we already tested and we have access, and in some areas we already been mined this section of the mine. And you can see this is a kind of diamond-shaped area. This is a great area that has to be assessed. This area has been tested with geophysics, and we have the indication that the mineralization goes around all over, like a ring, around the Olbo Canyon that produced this mineralization. So with the area that we have in green, yellow, red, we have plus 10 years of life of mine right now, and we have the commitment to continue doing exploration around the remaining great area of the volcano. It will take many years to develop this potential because, as you can see by this scale, it will be to replenish the life 2-3 times as we have been mining so far in the last 20 years. The idea to keep a stable production, as you see in the upper part of the right side, in the order of 55,000 to 60,000 tons of fine copper per year is not only based on continuing mining, what we know, but also doing the optimization of our current operations. One of the main targets that we have is to raise the production. We have been successful in delivering the increment of production. Right now, we are running close to 11,000 tons per day. The idea to stabilize that rate of production this year and in 2024, continue the ramp up, and the idea is to reach 12,000 tons per day by mid or later 2025. So by increasing the production rate, we are reducing the cost, and we are doing that, and you see a kind of sketch in the lower part of the right side of how we are doing the redesign of the mine in order to do a more massive underground operation. And we believe that 12,000 tons per day is not the limit of the expansion rate of El Brocal. It's just one step that we have ahead of that by 2025. The other thing that we're planning to do is looking into the optimization of the metallurgical recovery, because now have some flexibility in the processing plant. As you know, we stopped the production with open pit, so we have some spare capacity in the processing plant, and we're planning to use that capacity in order to increase the flotation time translated into higher recoveries in the processing plant, particularly for copper. So it's going to be increased production rate, massification of the mine and the mine, and increasing recovery that will allow us to be economically viable for the 10-year plus plan that we are planning to deliver for Brocal. We are planning to put all these things together in a new pre-feasibility study that will be delivered by the third quarter of next year, putting all these reserves, resources, new cost estimation, and all the expansion plans all together in one document that will be submitted to have a view of 10-year plus of life on operation of El Brocal mine. In the case of Uchucchacua, as you know, we halted operation in October 2021, and we resumed operation back in October, a couple of months ago. During that time, we didn't put the mine only on the current camp maintenance. We continued exploration of the mine and the reinterpretation of the whole deposit. In the upper right side, you see the mine, a sketch of the mine, where you see several colors. The blue, or the sky blue color, is the polymetallic ore. That area, as you can see, is pretty much along or close to existing facilities, the shaft, the levels. So we reassess the potential of the polymetallic areas that we already know, but we put in a secondary priority on Uchucchacua and the historic basic. We were mainly focused on the silver production, that are the brown and pink color in the area, but we kind of disregard or don't pay too much attention to the polymetallic ore. Now we are getting back into that area. As you see, it's close to our current facilities, and now we have Uchucchacua running more on a polymetallic basis. We have the production being processed in the same processing facility that we have. It's ready for this kind of ore, and we are being doing the optimization of the program. So we have this area to be assessed. We believe there is an opportunity to a skarn that might host larger volumes of mineralization of polymetallic nature, probably with some content of copper that will be tested in the future. You also see on the lower part of the chart how it looks Uchucchacua and Yumpag mine. So they are kind of aligned. There is still a gap of about 2 kilometers in between. We need to keep doing exploration in between. But as Juan Carlos was explaining, probably we have some evidence now that the higher grade mineralization in Yumpag is not coming into this direction, but is moving kind of parallel into this chart, going to the north of this section. So probably we have some open potential, some hidden potential that was not really assessed in the past, and some opportunities to keep opening this front of line. And a combination of the two, I think, is one of the more powerful synergies that we have in our portfolio. We have a polymetallic mine in that site, Uchucchacua, and we have a very high-grade silver on Yumpag, not far away. Both of them are being treated on the same processing facility on a batch schedule. Now coming back into Yumpag, Juan Carlos Salazar was explaining the high-grade areas that we have been hitting regularly in the last 2 years. Now we start a campaign, a pilot campaign in the Yumpag area, it's about at over 25 ounces of silver per ton, very high-grade ore. We have some bonanza spots that we are assessing to sell direct as a direct shipping ore over 60 ounces of silver. So we are having a combination of ore that can be processed in a processing plant and high-grade ore that can be sold straight to the market due to the high grade it holds. Even if the production right now is in the order of 1,000 tons per day or 1,200 tons per day in the near future, we expect that, compensated with the high grade that it has, the total production of silver from Yumpa will be in the order of 8 million ounces per year. The reserve that we have, as you can see in the darker gray area at the beginning, gives us a life of 3-4 years. And now we are putting the next ore body, that is 300 meters to the north of the first one, into development. That's Tomas ore body. Probably it will be a higher grade even than the first one, than Camila. We have evidence that this ore body will be over 30 ounces to 40 ounces of grade and will be explored, developed, and getting all the license to mine this area in the next 2-3 years so as to be the next great area you see in the long term. So the combination of these two assets will bring us also a portfolio of a synergy of these two into a more than 10-year life of mine, one with larger resource of polymetallic nature in Uchucchacua and high-grade silver in Yumpac, all together into the same processing plant. And just to get an idea how it looks like, our first mine, this is a video of Yumpac. You see the ponds, you see the camp. It's a very small footprint. It's a very compact one. We have the main edit. You see the main inlet to the mine. You see the camps, so everybody lives right next to the property, so we don't need to spend too much time to move the people from their livings into the operation. We have all the offices and all the shops right next to it, and we have mainly the main facilities underground. So it's a very compacted footprint in order to be efficient in doing the mining of this high-grade area of Yumpac. And the next one that Juan Carlos was mentioned was exploration in Coimolache, a very large ore body, highlighted here in red, orange, and yellow. And as you can see here, it's a very, very large. But I would like to highlight one area that Juan Carlos was mentioned. We are now focused on the upper part of the mining, this area here. And that area is where we are mining right now the oxides that contain with gold content that is being leached. So every time we're doing the mining of the gold, at the same time we're doing the stripping of the future sulfide. So we're getting closer and closer to sulfide every time we go down bench by bench in the open pit of gold. The potential open pit that's going to be assessed is probably one of the scenarios. It is brown line that you see that pretty much recovered a big, big chunk of the massive ore body that we have down below. But even though you can see that outside that profile, we still have significant resources that are or high grade, like that area on red over there, and that was closer to me, that will be potentially mined by underground. So the work that probably Renzo Maher will explain in a minute is that we are now with 700 million tons of ore. We need to assess what is the best way to develop this project. We will continue with the goal, of course, but probably we need to play with some scenarios to do an open pit, an underground, both sequential of one or the other. So probably some scenarios that need to be assessed in the incoming pre-feasibility stage of engineering. The road project will be developed by Renzo, but just to close, I would like just to see the we are planning to turn these assets that we have into assets that have a longer than 10 years life of mine, based not only on exploration that was part of the DNA of the company, but also by doing operational excellence and reducing the operational costs, increasing the metallurgical recovery, looking for markets for our products that are kind of complex in nature to recover the maximum value out of them, and also doing the business that we do in the safer way possible, taking the best benchmark of the market, like the transition that we are doing voluntarily from the Peruvian regulation into the CDA standards to monitor our and manage our tailing dams in a more safely and secure way. Thank you. And now I turn over to Renzo Maher.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. So let's start with the project. So let's start with the project pipeline. The main idea of this slide is to show you the strong project pipeline that we were able to put together over so many years of exploration and project development. This strong pipeline of different size projects at different maturity levels is the cornerstone of our organic growth effort. In this presentation, we will be focusing on the two most advanced projects on this slide, mainly San Gabriel and Trapiche. San Gabriel, our latest gold project, currently under construction with 14 plus years of reserves and another 7 years of inferred resources. San Gabriel will help us produce 100,000 ounces of gold per year, starting with the first gold bar towards the second half of 2025. As you may remember, we decided to slow down construction start in 2022 due to the political and social issues of that year. That was not the case for the engineering and procurement activities, which proceeded at full speed, achieving 90% progress in the engineering and 89% progress in procurement. Actually, the first equipments are already shipped and stored in our warehouses in Lima. And now is the time when we start profiting from this decision. This high engineering definition will pay us in the form of less coordination and better contracts with our providers. On top of that, during 2023, we managed to focus our construction efforts on the pre-construction activities, mainly earthworks, campsite, deposits, access roads, and everything needed to reduce contractors' ramp-up activities and to minimize contract overlapping. We have already reached agreements with the underground contractor, the concrete installer, and the mechanical installer, all of them scheduled to start within the next 3 months. Finally, in the permit section, we managed to complete all the social related activities in regards to the power line environmental permit, leaving only the technical part to be completed within the next quarter. We're also working on a Plan B case to increase the resilience of an existing rural power line as a backup plan in case of unexpected delays during commissioning. So here are some pictures of the current state of the work on site. The freshwater dam is already started, mine portal ready to receive the first contractor, waste dam ready to support the mine development activities, and finally, the campsite with 1,400 beds for all the contractors to come. In a picture of the advances in the plant platform, we have put some references so you can see the 3D model that we presented last time compared to the actual earthwork. Moving to Trapiche, our next large copper project in the Apurimac region in the southern part of Peru, currently finishing the first third of the feasibility process. We expect to finish with the proper SK1300 feasibility study towards the end of 2026. In 2023, we have focused our effort on three main areas of development. First, we have successfully started the second set of variability columns in our on-site laboratory that can be seen in this picture. Just remember that each one of these tests have a duration of 200 plus days, so we need to adequate the rest of the activities to this progress rate. Second, we managed to reach an agreement with the community for the construction of an independent access road. The current access road is not enough for construction nor for operation, and it goes through the main plazas of three communities. So this is an extremely good social risk reduction activity. On the same line of thought, we were able to sign agreements with 3 out of 6 communities to secure the right of pass for our power line. We expect to sign another 2 during 2024. And third, we were able to overcome all the government obstacles and submit the beginning of the environmental impact assessment process. We're starting this process with signed development agreements with 3 out of 5 communities in the direct influence area, and advanced conversations with the remaining 2. With these signed agreements, we expect to have a successful public assembly process towards the second quarter of 2024. And finally, this is a 3D model of all the project components. For your reference, and a brief description of the advance on securing the access road and the power line. So as you have seen, we are successfully oriented our project development efforts to achieve a smooth transition to heavy construction in San Gabriel and to continue securing the precision, the land, and the permits for a low-risk SK1300 feasibility study in the case of Trapiche. Both of these efforts performed with good adherence to the plan and in the process of delivering the promised business value on time. And with that, let me turn it over to Daniel Dominguez. Thank you.
Thank you, Renzo. Good morning to everybody. Thanks for joining us in this Investors Day. I will go through our nine-month period financial highlights. Then I will talk about our financial strategy for the following years. And finally, I will go through some numbers for the following years. As you can see, our financial results show a positive trend that was driven by a better performance from our operations. We feel very comfortable that this positive trend will mark a turning point towards a growth trend, a growth path. In the nine-month period of this year, we reported revenues of $570 million, basically driven by the production at El Brocal, the copper production. For the full year, we expect around $850 million of revenues. With this, our revenue mix would be 47% coming from copper and 50% coming from precious metals. Our EBITDA for the nine-month period was $122 million. This does not include the results from Cerro Verde. For the full year, we expect an EBITDA close to $160 million. This year, we will receive $150 million of dividends from Cerro Verde. We have already received 100 million. We will receive 50 additional million in December. The CAPEX during the first 9 months of the year was $146 million, basically devoted to the construction of Yumpag and San Gabriel. For the entire year, we maintain our guidance of around $300 to $320 million CAPEX. Due to this intensive CAPEX for this year, we have reported a negative free cash flow for the nine-month period, and we will continue reporting a negative cash flow during this year and 2024. The cash position at the end of September was $222 million, net debt of almost $500 million, which gives us a leverage ratio of 2.5 times. This is the level that we feel comfortable with, and probably next year, with the additional CAPEX for San Gabriel, we could be between 2.5 and 3 times the net debt leverage ratio. During this year and the following years, we are going to focus our efforts in increasing margins and cash generation. To achieve these objectives, we will focus in 3 pillars. The first one is to become more efficient. Second, discipline in capital allocation. And third one, to assure the funds for our CAPEX programs in the following years. Regarding the costs, we have been defining our metallurgical and mining processes in our operations, as well and as a significant decrease in the corporate G&A expenses. Having said that, the copper costs should go down from $6,300 per ton at El Brocal to close to $6,000 per ton in the long term. Basically, this will be driven by El Brocal expansion to 12,000 tons per day, and as we are focusing on the underground mine, we will be able to take advantage of some synergies. In terms of silver, having Yumpag with very high grade, as Juan Carlos explained, we will have a decrease in the costs from $22 per ounce back to $15 to $16 per ounce, which is the level that we used to have when Uchucchacua was producing at full capacity. And finally, in gold, the cash cost should decrease from $1,200 per ounce this year to close to $1,000 per ounce due to San Gabriel's contribution to our production profile. The G&A expenses should decrease in around 20%. We are in the middle of a process of excellence operations. Regarding the capital allocation discipline, we will prioritize the use of our cash in the following investment activities: maintenance capex for continuing operations, optimizations and operational improvements, growth capex, and explorations. During year 23 and year 2025, we will have an intensive capex program. We will require to invest in year 2023, $330 million, in year 24, $310 million, from which almost $200 to $220 will be devoted for the construction of San Gabriel. The remaining will be sustaining capex, for San El Brocal expansion. In year 2025, we will reduce the capex. We will continue investing in San Gabriel. The total capex will be around $220 million. We will also start investing some capex to Trapiche project. How are we going to face, or how are we going to obtain the liquidity to fund these projects? Well, we have already, we are in the middle of the negotiation of revolving credit facilities. We have committed $100 million with a local bank, and we are in the process of negotiating additional $100 million. The average rate for these facilities will be between 7 and 9% with a maturity of 30 months. We expect to have this closed by the end of this year, and with this $200 million, we will have the flexibility to take the money and amortize when we need it. We are not going to use the $200 million altogether. This will cover completely the CAPEX program that we have shown in the previous slides. Regarding our bond financing, we are evaluating different alternatives, and we should start the process of refinancing or renewing the bond in year 2025, the first half, and we should complete all the process and should be set everything by July 2025, 1 year before the maturity of our $550 million bond. In parallel, we are progressing with the sale of non-core assets. We have two important assets that could eventually value or give us cash of $400 million, in addition to the $34 million that we have already received by selling Contacto Broker Insurance Company. Finally, here is the projection. Here are the estimates for our free cash flow for the following 3 years. We will end year 2023 with close to $160 million of cash. we will generate an EBITDA of $250 million, basically with the contribution or the additional contribution from Uchucchacua Yumpac. We will invest a capex of $320 million, financial costs of $70 million. We expect and we continue we are very optimistic that Cerro Verde will continue distributing around $150 million in dividends. So year 2024 will end with a cash position of $150 million. In year 2025, San Gabriel will start production in the last quarter of the year. We will generate close to $210 million of EBITDA. We will invest a capex of $240 million. The financial costs will be similar to the previous year. We continue expecting $150 million from Cerro Verde. And finally, we should finish the year 2025 with $165 million in cash. In year 2026, we will count with Yumpac producing at a full capacity, San Gabriel producing 130 to 150,000 ounces of gold at a cash cost of $800,000 to $900,000 per ounce. And we also will also have El Brocal going back to the production at the open pit. So we expect an additional EBITDA of $210 to $220 million with a lower capex of $120 to $130 million. So we should end year 2026 with a cash position of $263. That is the year where we are going to refund that's the maturity of our $550 million bond that we should have solved the previous year. Before getting back to Leandro's final remarks, I would like to say that if we are in the middle, as you have seen in the presentations all along this event from my colleagues, we have put in place an important strategy that will permit Buenaventura to increase the margins and generate the cash that could, in the future, give some value for our shareholders. Please, Leandro.
Thank you, Daniel. I want to show you how our production profiles will be in the following years. This is the picture of our production with the reserves and resources known today. With San Gabriel, we'll hold maintain our production in 175,000 ounces per year. In terms of silver, with Yumpac and Tomasa, we will be around 15 million ounces of silver. And copper, only in Brocal with 12,000 tons per day, will remain at 55,000 tons per year of fine copper. With Trapiche, this will boost our production of copper up to 150,000 tons per year of refined copper. Now, finally, I would like to strengthen the following facts and have these ideas as takeaways for this meeting. First, Yumpac producing at full potential, El Brocal underground, the mine expansion to 12,000 tons per day, San Gabriel ramp up, and the first gold bar produced in the second half of 2025, and Cerro Verde, of course, our world-class asset with the distribution of dividends will help us to make this increase in value and the turning point of Buenaventura. Thank you for your attention. It was a pleasure to see you again. And we are already ready for your questions and any comment you want to make. Thank you. Please, Carlos.
We will now begin the Q&A session. We will begin with questions from the in-person audience and then move to the questions submitted via the webcast. For the in-person audience, please raise your hand and we will hand your microphone. Please state your name and company affiliation. For our live webcast audience, you may submit your questions at any time using the Q&A window on the webcast.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley. Just a couple of questions, if I may. On page 19, you show a very impressive increase in silver and copper resources, or reserves and resources. Could you perhaps detail how much of the increase is in reserves and how much of the increase is in resources?
Sure. Please, Juan Carlos.
Yes. So we are working on the reserves. Probably we will have the numbers by the end of this year. But as you can see, the resources are quite impressive, as you mentioned. And for example, in Yumpag, we are talking about we are going to increase around 50 million ounces in reserves for this year.
So the percentage increases is only in resources?
Only resources. That number includes only resources because we don't have at this time the reserves calculated. We are in the process, yeah. The last bar, the green bar in 2023, is only reserves, resources, sorry. The reserves are right now under calculation.
Right, so for right. But include reserves. You just don't know the breakdown.
At the future,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay, got it. And then the other comment is you mentioned that you want to reduce your SG&A expenses. Any specific initiative that you can highlight how you're going to achieve this?
Well, we are in the middle of an operational excellence work. We are reviewing all our process, and we will in everything, in logistics, in administration, in how we are working. We are questioning how we are working. We would like to change the way we are doing things. We have moved from 5 floor that we use in the building to 2, so we expect more savings that will increase our will decrease our G&A expenditures. I don't know if, Daniel, do you want to? No?
Basically, we have identified, Carlos, a group of initiatives, basically in Lima, the headquarter, and the administrative parts in areas in the mines, so we can take advantage of some synergies. For example, bringing the administrative areas that are working on the mine, on the site, bring them to Lima so they can attend the administrative services for all the mines. So we have identified a group of initiatives that will permit us to reduce the G&A from $55 million down to $48 million approximately.
Great. Good morning, everybody, and it's very nice to see everyone in person. My name is Tanya Chikuskinek. I'm with Scotiabank, and I do have a few questions, if I could. Maybe just to stay on the reserves and resources, can you just give us an idea of the pricing that you used for the reserves and resourcing? The gold price, the silver, and the copper price that was used? did you want to get back to me on that? Would that be okay?
No.
Oh, no, you have it? Okay.
So it's 1700 for gold, $22 per ounce for silver, 8500 for copper, 2500 for zinc, and 2000 for lead.
Okay, and that's for the reserves?
Yes.
And the resource price?
We usually use 10%.
Above?
10%.
Okay, thank you so much for that. Maybe just on a couple of other things I wanted to ask was, I'll leave Peru to the end from a social standpoint. We can talk a bit about that. But just I'm interested in two things. You mentioned asset sales. You came up with two non-core assets totaling up to $400 million. What are the two non-core assets?
Well, the first one is the royalties from Chaupiloma. As you may know, Chaupiloma receives 1.8% of all the total sales of Yanacocha. We are in the process, in the due diligence of selling this. And the other one could eventually be our Wanza hydroelectric plant in the case that we need the cash.
And can you remind me, does Newmont have the right of first refusal on that?
They don't have the last refusal. They have the first offer. We already offered to them, mm-hmm. and then they declined the offer.
Okay.
Right now we are open to selling to the market.
Okay.
We're in the middle of the process. Maybe we'll have a final decision in the next 6 months because we are willing to receive the final information from Newmont next week.
Okay, so it's put up for auction for various companies to look at it, and
of course,
you're running a process.
We already have invited. We have like 13 companies interested in that royalty, and we hope to receive, of course, a price higher than the first offer that we sent to Newmont.
Okay, and sorry, just to finalize this, you hope to have this in place in 2024?
Yes, of course.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you. And if I could ask on just coming back on both of your development projects, Grab San Gabriel and Trapiche, just on San Gabriel, you know, we've had a lot of inflationary pressures and cost pressures around the world. And if I can remember correctly, you updated a little bit the CapEx for us. Can you just let us know how much of the CapEx has been committed so I understand what is left, you know, that's not committed, that could be under inflationary pressures? And then the cost side, can you remind me your input costs? Because I think those costs are quite old, like a few years old.
I didn't get the last part there. Which cost?
The cash cost, the $750 to $800 per ounce. Those costs, I don't think they have been updated from the original.
No.
Yeah.
So we haven't updated our total CapEx from the beginning. We are probably towards in the first quarter we're going to have a definite estimate as all the different contractors start working. So there will be of course a certain impact because of this delay of construction. But we thought that it is better to have the definite estimate first before coming into that number. So far, I think it's in the slide, $250-something million committed already. I guess the important part here is that we purchased all the equipment last year, or most of the main equipment last year. And we didn't have that much difference, like probably 10% difference against the definite estimate. And I think in the service part, we're going to have the market conditions in Peru are working in our favor, as there's no all these delays on projects, we are pretty much one of the two or three projects that are going on at this time. So it's a buyer's market today.
Okay, and then just on the cash costs, if you could, are those going to be updated as well in Q1 of next year?
We started the operation readiness process, yes,
mm-hmm.
Which is aiming at reducing that or refining the OPEX of San Gabriel. We have found several opportunities there. Let's remember that this is a business, so it's about CAPEX and OPEX and sales.
Mm-hmm.
And I think towards the middle of next year, we're going to have something more precise as we go through that process. But so far, we're sticking with the previous number, which I think it's 850. Yeah.
Oh, 750 to 800 is what you have here. Is it 850 I should be thinking about?
Tanya, yes. Between 800 and 850 is the it's the OPEX or the cash cost that we were telling the market. However, for our estimates, the numbers I showed previously, we are using close to $1,000 per ounce.
Okay.
Because we are considering a slight inflation increase.
Okay, and I guess those numbers, you'd have a better feel when you do your bulk sample, right, underground, and you can actually put costing to the...
Exactly. Yeah. That's the idea.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And then maybe if I could just on Trapiche, you know, you're moving that along to a feasibility study stage, and I know you talked about a partner, so maybe Daniel, can you run through for us? Or what do you need to see before we start looking for a partner?
Yes, we haven't started yet a process for a partner, but we have been talking with many companies that are interested in Trapiche. We already make some presentations. Most of them are Japanese, also some Chinese and from other nationalities. But there is a lot of interest because there is no so many projects like Trapiche in place in Peru and in the world. No, but we have already started talking with some interested companies.
Okay, so this is an informal conversation, and you'll put a formal process in?
Yeah, no. The idea is when we have the feasibility study completed, then we start a process in order to have a partner.
And then if I could ask just my final question and then pass it to somebody else. Rocky, can you talk a little bit about Peru and just some of the social issues that are occurring there? And obviously yesterday's horrible incident on the illegal mining and the impacts on what's happening there. And just, you know, from an investor standpoint, you know, I know for myself, a lot of investors think of Peru right now at the sort of similar geopolitical risk of some areas of Africa, which I don't think is actually correct. But maybe you can walk us through what is happening in Peru. Thank you very much for all my questions.
You always make the political questions to me, huh? That's okay. No, the thing is, I think one of the main problems of the Peruvian economy is informality. Informality represents close to 70% of the economy, and that has to be solved in the future. Mining is not an exception, and there is informal mining in Peru, and especially in areas of high-grade gold ores, as in the case of Patas, there are a lot of informal miners. For whatever reason, these companies have been including some of these informal miners in their own operations. And if that happens, well, you never know which is the limit to those informal operations. I'm afraid that in the case of Poderosa, they have gone a little bit too far, and they had this terrible incident with 9 people killed. I hope this will not happen in other parts of Peru. We don't know. I think what we have to look after is those processing plants that we have all across Peru. Why is that there is processing plants that process ores that we really don't know if those are formal or not? And that has to do with the mining policy in Peru. There was an ad on the paper of the Association of Processing Plants of Peru saying that they obviously regret what has happened in Poderosa. who are these people of the Association of Processing Plants? I wonder. Well, the way to deal with this matter is to analyze who are feeding this plant, because most of those ores are essentially informal, if not stolen. So I think this will have to bring some serious considerations. Informal mining, I would say, represent between 10 and 15% of total mining production of Peru. Obviously, the Cerro Verdes and the Southern Copper and the Antaminas and the Buenaventuras are not informal miners. And most of the mining industry is responsible mining, formal mining, and I think we speak on behalf of them. We are not speaking on behalf of the informal miners. The policy of fighting against informality is, I would say, a state policy that has to be confronted. No? For instance, in the labor market, 85% of the labor market is informal in Peru. Informality is an issue, a substantial issue in Peru. And what we are seeing is simply a reflection of that. On the other hand, on the positive side, the mining tradition of Peru, I think, offers that we can deal with these matters and develop new projects, larger projects that will certainly be formal and responsible, and that is what we are looking for. I think this is what I can tell you at this point in time. Well, the fact of the matter is that this government, and it is not a question that we voted for this government or not. I did not vote for Mr. Castillo, obviously. I respect whatever my colleagues will say. I hope none of them have voted for Mr. Castillo. But anyway, the thing is, the democracy in Peru calls for, if there is a vacancy of the presidency, well, the vice president has to take over. And this lady, Boluarte, took over and formed a much better government than what Mr. Castillo had. The fact of the matter is that in Perumin, which is, as you know, the second largest mining conference in the world that was held in Arequipa, we had presentations from the Prime Minister, from the Minister of Economy, the Minister of the Environment, the Minister of Culture, the Minister of Economy, and all of them sounded very, very supportive. We have noticed that the permitting process has improved substantially. They have formed an office in the Ministry of Economy to accelerate the permitting process, recognizing that the permitting process was not right. So we feel much better. We hope this will continue. The attitude, the speech is the positive one, and we hope for the better, no?
Thank you very much for the presentation today. I had a few questions relating to...
Can you speak louder, please?
Sure. Does this sound better?
Yes.
Okay. I just had a few questions about your M&A strategy. Do you, in 5 years or whatever the number is, some number like that, do you continue to see yourself as Peru-centric, or could you see yourself being in other Latin or Central American countries? And then I had a very specific question, if you had any thoughts in any of the neighboring countries. Lots of them are having lots of change. For example, Argentina comes to mind, and then obviously Bolivia, Ecuador, Chile. Any comments on any of those countries? And my follow-up question after that.
Thank you for your question. Historically, our Buenaventura story is the growth the company has followed is an organic growth with its own discoveries and developments. In the near future, we are very busy in our own projects, but always we are alert of any opportunity. I don't know, Aldo, if you want to.
Yes. This year we went to Beaver Creek Conference in order to check so many projects. We are very focused in South America, really. And right now we are taking look for some projects in Ecuador and Colombia, are in the hands of the geology department. And if we see something very good, maybe we could go to those countries. But right now we are very focused in Peru because we have this project, San Gabriel, and the next one, Coimolache and La Zanja and Trapiche. No? But of course, if there is a very good opportunity in those countries, we will take a look and maybe we can buy something.
My only follow-up is specifically with respect to Argentina. Is that a place you could ever see yourself operating, or is it just so far gone that it doesn't?
Not really. If we find a good opportunity, we can go to Argentina too. I think that with this new government, will be a very will be better for miners.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Carlos de Alba with Morgan Stanley. And just coming back to the cash flow generation and leverage, in the analysis of free cash flow, you are counting with $150 million per year in dividends from Cerro Verde. What makes you believe that they will continue to pay this level, given that there is, as far as I understand, not a defined dividend policy at Cerro Verde?
In our calculations, we expect a very stable production in Cerro Verde. We don't foresee any additional capex. They have the capex for in Cerro Verde is around $300 million every year, so it's the maintenance capex. And we foresee the price in these levels and at the same level of 2023. So we assume at least between 120 and 150 million dollars of dividends coming from Cerro Verde.
If I may add, Leandro, Cerro Verde at this level of copper prices will generate an EBITDA of at least $2 billion. As Leandro says, the capex, the year capex for Cerro Verde is not higher than $300 million. If you consider working capital and taxes of around $700 million, you have a free cash flow of at least $1 billion. So Roberta has a policy of maintaining $500 million of cash, minimum cash. So easily they can achieve $500 million to $700 million of available cash for distribution. So we are assuming that they will distribute at least $700 million of the net income or generated that year. That's why we feel very comfortable that they will distribute between $120 and $150 million per year.
And just to maybe keep talking about this issue, given the relevance that it has in your cash flow generation, is there any conversation to define a dividend policy that will obviously not only benefit Buenaventura, but also the other minority shareholders and minorities that buy the stock in the Lima market?
No, but all the discussions are in the dividends. We in the directors, in the board of directors, we actually have been observing Freeport the feeling that they need to give dividends to all the shareholders. We know that Sumitomo Buenaventura and Sumitomo Metals also are asking for for dividends in once the limit of $500 million as the lower cash they want to maintain in balance is surpassed. No? So we will, anytime, we'll ask for dividends if they feel comfortable with the cash they have in the balance.
And a couple of more questions. Just to be sure, only the royalties of Choi Piloma are for, you really want to do that. The potential sale of the hydro, the Wanza hydro plant, that depends on where you sit on your net debt to EBITDA.
Yes, that's right.
Any covenants in your current bond that may preclude you from going to 3x net debt to EBITDA or above that?
The only covenant we have is that if our leverage ratio is over 3.5 times, we cannot increase debt.
Hi, thanks. Jacob Sample from Ashmore. A couple more questions on this slide. You show EBITDA growing by around $100 million next year, but you have production declining for gold and copper. Can you explain the significant increase?
This is between 2024 and 2025.
No, I think you said 23. You expect $160 million of EBITDA. You have 246 for 24.
Well, the year 2024, the EBITDA will increase compared to this year because we are having Yumpag and Uchucchacua producing at full capacity. You know? Instead of producing 9 million ounces of silver, we'll grow to almost 15 to 16 million ounces of silver.
Okay. And
while maintaining the gold production basically flat.
Okay, I thought in your guidance you had it declining for gold.
It's slightly declined, but what we are going to try is to maintain the production from Orcopampa and Tambomayo flat until we start we replace the gold from with San Gabriel. We are being conservative here, but what we believe is that we are going to be able to maintain the gold production flat.
Okay, and the royalties you're potentially going to sell next year are in your numbers?
No, those are not there.
The inflows aren't included?
No.
Okay, and if you're able to sell some of these non-core assets, how should we think about your balance sheet?
Basically, what we are going to do is use those to fund the CapEx. You know? So you will see the increase in the cash.
Okay, and not draw on the credit facilities?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, we will now begin the Q&A session from the webcast. The first question comes from Yuray Domic from Larraín Vial. Could you give us your comments on the Peruvian government plan announced last November to boost mining projects and how it could impact Buenaventura?
Mainly the plan is to help explorations to come through quicker. As Roque mentioned, I think there is a consistent discipline and effort to help the permits that is the difficult part of the all the process to doing mining in our country. In the Minister of Economy and Finance, they have named a group, a task force, that has continually meeting with us, with all the mining companies, in order to make the follow-up of where are the permits they need to continue to give the continuity of the for the production. I think Mr. Contreras, the finance minister, has the right ideas, but the problem of the country today is the security we have and the continuity of these policies.
Okay. The next question comes from Omar Avellaneda from Prima AFP. What is the expected gold production by each mine in 2024? And there's another question. On San Gabriel, what is the annual expected sustaining capex? What is the expected construction capex and sustaining capex for Trapiche?
Well, the expected production goal for next year, I will give you just the average number. In the case of Coimolache, it's going to be around 40,000 ounces of gold. In Orcopampa, will be around 75,000 ounces of gold. In Tambomayo, going to be around 20,000 ounces of gold. And in Brocal, at 100% basis, will be around 18,000 ounces of gold. Those are the main driver. And small production coming from La Zanja in the order of 5,000 ounces as well by leaching, re-leaching the pad.
The other part of the question?
The second one's on San Gabriel, what is the annual expected sustaining capex? And what is expected construction capex and sustaining capex for Trapiche?
Okay, so for San Gabriel, the sustaining capex will be based on the increasing the size of the existing tailing dam facility, so probably somewhere around $50 to $60 million. And in the case of Trapiche, the capex at this point, which is we're in the middle of a feasibility process, so it's somewhere between $1 to $1.5 billion. And that's it.
The next question comes from Delvin C. from Scotiabank. Regarding the 20% reduction in G&A, any timeline to achieve that?
Well, during the objective is to achieve this this goal is during 2024.
The next question comes from Rodrigo Murrieta with Integra FP. Do investors should expect cash cost actualization in Uchucchacua, Yumpag, and Orcopampa on 2024? Cash cost actualization.
Well, in of course, in Yumpag and Chacua, we will show our profile of cost and production in the first weeks of January. In that opportunity, we will make our estimate of cost for all the mines.
If I may add, Leandro, the impact of Yumpag in our silver cash cost is not going to be immediate. It's going to be progressive. Next year, we are going to lower the cash cost from $22, $23 that we are reporting now down to $17, $18 per ounce, and in year 25, when having the full capacity of Yumpag and Chacua, we should lower this to $15 to $16 per ounce, which is what we have been announcing.
Okay. We have a follow-up question from Omar Avellaneda with Prima FP. What are your assumptions for the refinancing bond duration, amount, and rate?
We expect to start the renewal process in 2025, the first half. We expect the rates to be lower than we have right now. The rate that we could achieve, I believe, is in the order of 7 to 8%. We hope to have a lower one, and the tenor of this bond should be around 5 years, and the amount of the bond of the issuance should be around $500 million.
At this time, there are no further questions. I would like to turn. Okay. Yes.
Sorry, can just get one more in if I could. Just the common dividend. Maybe Daniel, can you just share with us how you think about the dividend? For are we looking at a minimum dividend for 2024? as we go through those negative free cash flow years, and yes, then we go back to a payment of your 20%.
Yes, Tanya.
Thank you.
What we expect is to pay a minimum of $20 million of dividend the following years. And as soon as we complete with the CAPEX program, we will resume to our policy of dividend payment, which is not less than 20% of the total net income.
It's a quick one. This is George Ordonez from BBVA. This year you've done a very good job of balancing cash and CapEx, but looking forward, you need some of those projects to come online in a timely manner to hit your cash flow targets. So, hypothetical question, if the world falls off a little bit, prices drop somewhat, EBITDA slows as well, would you draw on the working capital line or your revolver line before curtailing CapEx? Or how would you approach that situation?
Well, if we have some issues to raise additional money for the bond, remember that we count with almost $200 million of facilities, revolving facilities, for 30 months. We could extend that, and also we do have all of the non-core assets that we can sell, $400 million. In addition to that, we have other ways of funding. As a last option that we have is we own 20 million shares in treasury that we could eventually sell if there is a complicated market.
So maybe asking a different way, would you tolerate a leverage increase, or would you try to hold that static? Is that your priority, holding leverage sub 3 times?
We will tolerate a maximum of 3.5 times leverage ratio.
Thank you.
Thank you. Could you give us an update on the SUNET litigation? I know it's in the future, but it's potentially a large amount of money for the company, and it seems like your case is very good, and wondering if there's any comparable cases out there you can point to where there's been favorable outcomes for the company.
Thank you for your question. The SUNET trial is in the Supreme Court. We're still defending our position. We expect during 2024 any pronouncing of the Supreme Court, or even if there is a negative position for us in the last ruling of the Supreme Court, we have the Constitutional Court. We are going to fight with all the tools we have at hand to preserve our rights. In terms of Cerro Verde, that is another trial that we are pending and we are expecting. That trial is in Cialis, no, in the Ciadi. And we expect a final rule in May. So we are expecting those rules in favor to our company. In terms of Cerro Verde, it's around $1 billion for the trial, complete trial, no?
Go to the company,
and that's 20% for us. And for the cases of Buenaventura, the total amount is $548 million.
Okay, at this time, there are no further questions. I would like to turn the call over to Leandro for his closing comments.
Just Just to say thank you again for coming. Our team is doing their best to increase the value of our company. We have a legacy to follow, and be sure that all our projects will be coming in time. We make all the efforts to complete the production, to meet the costs, and to meet all the mines that we are in working today, and our projects: San Gabriel, Yumpac, Trapiche, Como El Lache Solfa, La Zanja Solfa. So we have a great future, and we continue working, forming our pipeline of projects. And it's an important characteristic of our company to continue having a group of pipeline that we are developing in the country. Thank you very much again, and expect to see you in the next year also over here. Thank you.